We left off on Lamed Gimel on the day. Lamed Gimel on the base, about 15-20 lines from the bottom. Just to review again, the Gemara quoted Amachlekes Rabbi Lezer and Chachamim. Amachlekes Hatanoim. If a person has, let's say, a twig, and he takes a branch from a tree, and he takes the branch, and he breaks it off with his fingers, and he makes a toothpick out of it. Or he takes the branch, which is a twig, and it's leaning in all directions, and he shapes it in such a way that he makes a spit out of it, that he can hold the flesh on, a potatoes, whatever, in order to broil it. So that's a makabah patah. She just made a kli. He made a toothpick, and he made a spit out of it. So when someone does that on Yom Tov or Shabbos, is that a malacha deraisa? Or should you say, no, he only did it with his hands. He didn't use an instrument. He didn't use a knife or anything. Maybe it's only Misakin Mona. Misakin Mona is Makabah Patsh, one of the Lama Tes Malos. Maybe it's only Kalacha Yad. Maybe it's not considered a real malacha. So the Gemara says that's a machlegis of Lezer and the Chachamim. So it says in the Braise, B'Shabbos, Shogak, B'Shabbos, Chayiv Chatos, Hizit B'Yantav Safik Esaboyim. And it's a malacha. Rabbi Lezer holds that it's a malacha deraisa. So if you did mechal Shabbos b'meizid yichayv misa, mechal Shabbos b'shegid yichayv chatos, and on yontif yichayv malkus. Lachachamim marim gech chazer. It's ain't ala mishum shvus. It's only a gzerim of the rabbanon. The Rashi says that it's true. It's makabah patish. It's masakin money, but it's only kalacha yad. So it's only the rabbanon. So in the mele we have a klal that the chachamim have no right to make gzerim. Ushmartim es mishmarti, that was Taka Rashi in the very beginning of Beitza, on the first day. Ushmartim es mishmarti, asum mishmaris la mishmarti. That you only have a right to make a gzeira, a shem of people will violate an isa derais on the first day. But if you're concerned that they'll only violate an isa derabbanan, that's already a mishmaris la mishmaris. You have no right to make a gzeira. So the Gemara said that there was a. Okay. The Gemara says that there seems to have been a contradiction between two braises. Seems to be a machlekes satanayim. If you have a branch, that if you'll break it, the reyach will smell even better. Good smelling branch. But if you break it open, you'll chip it, then it'll even smell better. So is it permissible to do that on Yom Tov? That's not a problem on Misak and Mona. So the shayla is, do you make a gzeira de rabbanon not to permit the person to break off the branch in order to smell it, lahariyecho, shema yiktemenu, maybe he'll break it off in such a way that he'll make a toothpick or he'll make a kli out of it. So the Gemara says, well, it depends. If you all like Rabbi Lezer, that would have constituted a malacha deraisa, then there's what to be gozer. You don't have to be gozer, but there's room to be gozer. So that braisa that says you're not allowed to be koitem the branch that is going to give off a better reyach, not allowed to do it. Is Xera, maybe he'll make a kli out of it, that's Alibid Rab Lezer. But according to the Chachamim, that even if you'll break it off, Adaita, the Miskabe, to make a kli out of it, the maximum you'll violate is only Nisa de Rabbanah. So for sure there's nothing to discuss. You can't make a Xera de Rabbanah, it's only a Xera de Xera. So that's how the Gemara Farem for the Stira between the Mishnahs. Then the Gemara Farem Takasha, but wait a minute, there is a Mishnah in Shabbos. Here it's in the middle of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. The Mishnah Shabbos is about 20 lines from the top. It says on the left hand side, Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav Amen Aleph. Shabbos has 24 prokim. It's a big mesichta. Yeah. So on Daf Kuf Mem Vav Amen Aleph, that's towards the end already. Kuf Mem Vav Amen Aleph, it says, Shaver Adam Esachavis Lechem Amen Groigris. I have a container and it has dried up fruits inside and I can't get to eat the fruits.
Yeah.
So the din is you're permitted to smear share. Let's imagine over here. This has food inside, candies, a drink, whatever. And there's no mechanism, there's no way to get to the food. So you're permitted to smash the kli in order to get to the food. That's what it says in the Mishnah. Shaver Adam Esachavis, you're permitted to smash it in order, lechem amenu gregris, in order to get to eat the food inside. Ubildat provided, shleis kavein lasos kli. You have to be careful not to smash it in such a way that you'll be make a pesach. If a person has a kli that he can't get into, and he makes a pesach, so ois a pesach and a kli is a malacha derais. Ois a pesach and malacha. Which malacha? A charish, a zareah, a koitza. Which malacha is ois a pesach? The Gemara never says. So Rashi has two pshatim in Masechah Shabbos and in Ksubas and in different masechtas. Rashi says one pshat is that it's boina, one pshat is that it's makabah patish. He's not sure. The Mishnah says that if you oyster Pesach, if you have
a boil,
and he squeezes out the pus, he has a pimple, he squeezes out the pus, and he puts in medication. He wants fresh air to go in. So that's a Pesach Hosei Lahach Nesulahos. He wants to get the Lecha out, the Muglo. He wants to get the pus out, and he wants to put the medication in. So that's a Malacha Derais of oyster Pesach. So what is oyster Pesach? If you say the Wamshat and Rashi that Oysa Pesach on the Kli is Bona, so then what you're saying is that there's Binyan Ba'adam. That there's Binyan Ba'adam. So Rashi says, yeah, don't get excited, there is Binyan Ba'adam. Because one Tana says, it says, Vayivin Hashem Elkim is Atzela. It says, by Chava, Vayivin Hashem Elkim is Atzela. You use the Lashon Bona by a human being. So Rashi quotes, there's one Tana who says in the Mishnah that if a person makes a fancy hairdo, if you make braids, you make a fancy hairdo, so one Tana holds that that's a malacha. Reb Lezer in the Mishnah says that's a malacha deraisa of bona. And he quotes that pasuk, Vayivin Hashem Elkim is Atzela. So even though we don't paskin like that Tana, we paskin that making braids and making a fancy hairdo is only a malacha derabbanan on Shabbos, but Rashi says in principle we agree with that Tana that there is, says Gemot, it is possible to violate bona by the hair, it's only derabbanan. But if you do some other act of bona on the goof of Adam, will be a violation of bonus. So what's the bonus? So Rashi says, Oysa Pesach is bona, and that'll be bona. According to the other pshat in Rashi, Oysa Pesach in the Kli is not bona, but it's rather makaba patish. So this din that Oysa Pesach and Gufa Adam constitutes an Issa deraisa, it says you're not allowed to be lahachtan salahotzi is a malacha deraisa, so then behechrech you have to say that there's makaba patish by Adam. Those are the two pshatim in Rashi.
For makaba patish, do you mean tools? Or can you make, let's say, if you do it with the hand? I mean, there's no question.
See, you don't?
Call it, you can't say, if I make it with the fingers, you can't tell me I make it with patish.
Oh, so that's what the Mishnah makes a distinction. The Rambam quotes, if he does it, kederach harayfim, if he does it fancy, kederach shahumnim, kederach harayfim aysim, then it's called makim bapatish. Just dam, it kretches and it goes out and this goes in. So that's not kederach harayfim, that's not called oysa peh. That's not called oysa pesach. But if he does it in a fancy fashion, the way he's supposed to do it, then it is called Oysa Pesach, and then it is whatever the violation is. Either Boina or Makaba Patish. Rashi always gives the two pshot. Rashi and Tais always pants between the two pshot.
If it's not done professionally,
it's not done.
Most it can do is the Rabbana.
Then we could generalize almost everything that's not done professionally.
Yeah,
it's done there in Agaf.
Okay.
Okay. Yes,
a lot of them are law that are not done professionally will only be the Rabbana. So others will be there, I say.
Yeah.
Not permitted to make grades. One time it says that it's a malacha deraisa, and we pask him that it's only a malacha midrabon. Yeah. And the Tana who says that it's a malacha deraisa says that it's bona, and he quotes that pasuk in Bereishis. Even Hashem Elokim is Hatzela. Do you see that there's binyan by a human being, by a human body?
Comb the hair is not allowed as easy, is it?
Comb the hair is a different shaila. Comb
the hair
pulls out the hair. That was really, that doesn't say in the Gemara, that says in Nazir. A Nazir is not permitted to shave off his hair. So the Mishnah says not only to shave off, not only with a razor, even with the scissors, and not only with the scissors where he's taking a haircut, even if he combs his hair, it says he's allowed to touch up his hair. Nozer chofa from a fastface, he's allowed to put his hair together. Avalos sorek, he's not allowed to use a comb in order to comb out the hair. So the Gemara says, why not? He's just combing. So the Gemara says that it's a psik reishe that he will vadai rip out at least one hair. If there'll be a hair, there'll be a little loose, he'll rip it out. So Rabbi Yosef Kara, the one who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, was mechadesh that if the din is so by a nazir that it's a psigresha that vadai will rip out here. The same thing for Hilchos Shabbos. And one of the gedolim in his time disagreed. That was a machlokes. Held no, it only has the din of a psigresha by nazir and by Shabbos not. It's a little unclear exactly why we have accepted the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. It's a little unclear why those rabbanim disagreed. So Rav Soloveitchik used to explain why. I think others explain why. That there is no, let's say when you comb your hair, so you have to make a few strokes. You don't stroke 100 times, depends how much hair. Okay, but a man doesn't have 100, a man doesn't comb his hair 100 strokes. 10 strokes, Lamazov, 5-10 strokes and your hair is all in place. So every single stroke is a psik ratio, you're going to rip out a hair. So if a person goes 100 times, he ripped out 100 hairs. That's impossible. mean there's a psigresha, the composite of all of the 10 strokes that the person will do, the sach hakol, one hair will get ripped out. So the Gemara said a chiddush that a psigresha from a composite of many pu'ulos constitutes a psigresha v'negeya to nozir. Maybe it's not necessarily so by Shabbos. Maybe by Shabbos you don't consider the composite. Maybe you have to consider each and every stroke individually. This stroke, there's no psikreishes mutter. The second stroke, no psikreishes mutter. So that's what some gdelim who lived the same time as Rabbi Yosef Karo disagree. They said that's only a special thing by Nazir, because by Nazir not only does he have an iser, tala yavar al rosh, he's not allowed to cut off the hair, he has a mitzvah seser, kadoshia gadol peres haroshel. So gadol peres haroshel means he has to see to it that his hair grows. If he doesn't have hair, it's not growing, it's not growing. But he's not allowed to do anything that'll take away from its growth. That'll be a bit less of Gadol Peres HaRosha said. Therefore, even a psikresha ayideya composite of many pulas by Nozir will also be considered a psikresha. But by Shabbos, the Gdolim will held, no, there's no such thing as a psikresha with a tziruf of many pulas. Each pula b'fnei atzmo is mutter. So there's no problem. And we don't pass them like that. We pass them that it is us. We pass them that it is us. So here this Mishnah says in Shabbos, it's permissible to crack open a container in order to get the food inside. Shavratim chavis, lechem emene gregis. What's that? Lechem emene gregis sounds like oichal nefesh, because it's oichal nefesh. So what's wrong? Oichal nefesh is a heter and yantiv. It's not a heter and Shabbos. That's what the Rashba asks. On Shabbos Kuf Mem Vav Anat Mishnah, Eichal Nefesh Heter and Yontav, not on Shabbos. He says, "Well, we're dealing with an Issa Derabbanan. We're not dealing with an Issa Deraisa. He's not making a Pesach." The Mishnah says, "Buvat Shalayis Kaven Lasas Kli." If he's going to be Issa Pesach in a normal fashion, so then it will be a Malacha Deraisa. If you have a container that you can't get into, and you break it open in such a way, Issa Pesach, then it is a Malacha Deraisa.
So how I can open this, that opens a can on Shabbos, is what
the Ramosh is whole tshuva dreitzach around this Gemara. The whole tshuva is revolving about this Gemara. So let's first do, before you get to that.
Yeah.
So the Mishnah says, you're permitted to crack open the chavis if you do a sloppy job out of it. You have to be careful not to make a Pesach, a normal Pesach, not to violate normal Pesach. So you won't break it. So you won't be in violation of an Issa Deraisa. So it's not even an Issa Deraisa.
Let's say you can make a tikkun of a fork. You learn you can make straighten out the fork. You can make the fork if it's bent. You can straighten it out on
Yontif. Yontif.
Talk about Yontif. Right. Let's say, for instance, I don't have any glasses to drink on Yontif. But I have, what's name? I have empty bottles. And I put in oil, and I put on a what's name? And you put in a hot piece of iron inside, and it cracks wherever the level is or oil is. Can you do this on Yom Tov?
I want to make it clean.
Yeah. I want to make a glass from a bottle.
Okay, so according to Rabbi Yudah, Rabbi Yudah says, Machshir Eichal Nefesh Amutim on Yom Tov. If I need it, if I need
the fork.
Okay, the same as the fork. According to Rabbi Yudah, it's mutter. How do we paskin? So we said, Mikir Adin, Rashi writes over here, Mikir Adin, we do paskin like Rabbi Yudah. The Machshir Eichal Nefesh is mutter. But the Gemara said, Halacha V'yei Morin Kein. We shouldn't tell the Balabatim. Those who are learning Beitzah, they know. That's, but for those who are not learning Beitzah, so if someone is, so we shouldn't tell them that it's mutter. You should keep it a secret.
According to the Rashbo, it wouldn't make any difference whether he is, whether he needs the contents of the Kovias or not. On Shabbos, I mean.
The Rashba is medayik from the Lashon HaMishnah. Shoev Rav Mesachav is lach mene greg. It's only mutter if it's Eichal Nefesh, if he wants to eat. Then break that shayla. What do you mean Eichal Nefesh? Is that a heter in Shabbos?
What about Shabbos?
He cannot
be the
Mishnah. This Mishnah is Shabbos.
Right? Exactly. So if it is not lach mene greg, it's for what reason is
he
is he open?
He's playing.
So for that,
it would be an outright
so.
What?
You're not allowed to.
Yes.
So that's the Shaila. So if you're not allowed to, so why is Eichal Nefesh Matir? That's what the Rashbi asks. Yontif Eichal Nefesh is Matir. Why is Lechem Ene Gregis? Why is it a Heter on Shabbos? He says, because you're not dealing with a Malacha Deraisa to begin with. It's only a Malacha Derabbana. So B'mokim, if he wants to eat food on Shabbos, so we allow it. So yeah. you're permitted to violate a Malacha Derabbanan on Shabbos in order to eat the food. So Mestami, you have to answer, I think you have to add on a little bit to the Rashba. The Rashba does not explain the whole thing. I think you have to add on. We learned when we learned Masechah Shabbos, so we learned the Gemara has a Machlekes B'Sham and B'Silo, and we paskin ain Binyan Likelim. Ain Binyan Likelim. There's no violation of Binyan Likelim. So there's a Machlekes Rashi and Tosfos on that Gemara. What does it mean? So Rashi says, I take sin and I make a kli yesh meyayin. There's no malacha b'ayin. You can never violate binyan. Is only on rooms, yeah, on buildings, on rooms, something like that. But on kelim, I make a table, a chair, could be misakin money. It's a different malacha, misakin money, makabat patish, but it will not be a violation of binyan. Ain't binyan kelim. And Tosfos disagrees with Rashi. That's not true. If you make binyan gomor, there is binyan kelim. The Gemara meant a different thing. If you have a convertible sofa, if you have a table, and you put the pieces, you open out the legs, or you have different pieces, and you put them all together, that's not binyan. A kli shal prokin, you have a kli that's made up of different pieces, you put it together, so that's not binyan. But if you make a kli mechadosh, so Tosfos says there is binyan. So what? Let's concentrate. So we assume like Tosfos that there is binyan mechadosh if you make a kli mechadosh. What about stira? What about soser? So the malach of soser, we know. You have a building and you demolish the building, so that's soser. So usually soser is mekalkel. But if it says Amanas Livnos, he's going to make a parking lot or he's going to make a building, there's a reason why he's demolishing the building. He's going to make more money. After he demolishes the building, he's going to make more money. By making a skyscraper, by making a parking lot and taking in more revenue, whatever, there's a good reason. So then the Soyser is Masakin. Usually Soyser is Mekalko. Now, unless it says Amanas Livnos, then it's Masakin. So what would you say? If you have binyan gomor, bikli, so we assume like Tosfos that there is binyan. What if you have soisa gomor, bikli, would there be stira by kli? So the Mishnah Brura quotes the Bir Agrof, and the Vilna Gaon says no. The whole machlek is Rashi and Tosfos, and we follow Tosfos that there is binyan bikalim. If it's a binyan gomor, real binyan, that's only bonet. But soser l'chaladeis is only by buildings, by houses, by mechuba l'karka, by rooms, something like that. No one holds that there's stira by Caleb. No one holds that there's stira by Caleb. Sure. That's Alpi Pashta. There's a funny kasha that Achrayim ask, a very humorous kasha. There's a Gemara in Masechah Shabbos where the Gemara says that Hamagabein, if you make cheese, it's a malocha deraisa bona. So the Achrayim ask a funny kasha, said when you eat cheese, it should be a malocha of seisa. It's ridiculous. Eating the cheese is not the opposite of making the cheese.
Right.
If there would have been a kasha, the kasha would have been. If you destroy the cheese, when you have milk and you take all the particles and you put it together and you make a solid packet of cheese, that's boina. Because the Rambam explains, what does it have to do with boina? Because how is boina? I take a brick and cement and I put another brick and another brick. I take little bricks and I put them together and I make a whole building out of it. So here I take the little particles of cheese, what is it, the solid particles, and I get them all together and I stick them together and I press it together, I make a solid piece of cheese. So that's boina. So if you would want to have a question of soiser, eating the cheese,
you couldn't make salad either. You couldn't make a little bit of tomato and a little bit of olive and a little bit of that, and you make a dish, because it's the same thing like making the cheese.
It is a good kashin. It is a good kashin.
But you're picking.
It is a good kashin. I think the answer is given by Rab Chaim Oiza. The answer is given. He has an interesting answer in Shalos HaTshuvos Achiyeza. He says, the truth of the matter is that making cheese is very far-fetched shaychus with boina. It doesn't really make any sense. But he said, the Tanoim were gunning out to Asa making cheese. They had a reason why they wanted to make cheese. And they want, and Loi Masara HaKasav Ad LaHachamim. So they, if they want to classify it as a told of a malacha, they can't say that wiping your nose is a told of koitzer. What has it got to do with koitzer? You can't say wiping your nose, blowing your nose is a told of zareya. It has nothing to do. But if it has some shaykhs whatsoever, and l'masar kosev ala chachamim, if they want to declare it as a told, he has a chiddush that toldas don't happen automatically.
Someone
has to declare it as a told. Someone with authority has to declare that this is here, this pulula, this activity is hereby declared as a told of such and such an av. It doesn't necessarily fall under the av automatically. There's such a Yerushalmi in Shabbos that says Rabbi Yechon and Reish Lakish were sitting for weeks and weeks, and they calculated, they figured out Hechetimtzis 39 told us for each one of the 39 others. What does that mean? 39. You can have 139. What's 39 steps? From the Yerushalmi sounds like that. They were declaring toldos. They were declaring activities that this is a told. And if they wouldn't have declared it, it would not have necessarily, it wasn't that similar that it should become a told automatically. They declared that certain things were told. This is a Givar not told. So that's where Abchaim Isaac writes a Chiddush. He thinks that making cheese is only a melacha deraisa. There's one shita like that. Not all the Rishonim agree. Some Rishonim say making cheese is a melacha deraisa. So he thinks that making cheese is a melacha deraisa on Shabbos and on Yom Tov not. How can it be that it's a tolda baina here and it's not? He says lama sar kas v'alachachamim, because it's really far fetched. It really is not that daima to the yab melacha of bona. But the Chachamim wanted to aser it, so they declared they're making cheese.
Why? Why did they want to aser it?
I don't know. They felt that let the people make their cheese before Shabbos. Let them make a little hachanas before Shabbos. The Gemara says the cheese would taste better. The Gemara says the cheese would taste better if it would be aged, if it would have been made before Shabbos.
Making cheese on Yom Tov, it's not to be ready for a couple of days to change the market, preparing for after Yom Tov. I think Mishnah Berurah mentions that.
One day.
But let's say he makes
the cheese. For example, he has the same thing about the fruits being dried on top of the roof. Once you put it on top of the roof, you've committed that you're not going to use that whole Yom Tov because within 24 hours.
You've got to
take a drying process for several days.
Yes, and that's
hachana.
Yeah, that's hachana. Yeah, but even to make cheese on Yom Tov, to eat it on Yom Tov, is also, the Gemara says, not permissible, because if you would have made it before Yom Tov, it would have tasted better. So the Gemara says, we don't permit you to make it on Yom Tov. So most of the Rishonim say that is, making cheese on Yom Tov is only the Rabbanon, and nonetheless, Rav Chaim Eisen wants to say that making cheese on Shabbos would be an Issa Derais. The exact same for Ula, making cheese on Shabbos is a told up bonus. Making cheese on the other is not a told up bonus. How can it be? So that's what he says. It's lime sarakas of Allah Chachamim. So again, this kasha that they ask, eating cheese, this is taman arisha kasha. Because eating cheese is not the opposite of making cheese. If anything, the kasha should have been, if I'll take a packet of cheese and I'll throw it back into the whey. Yeah. When you make cheese, you separate the curds, the solid curds from the whey. So if you would take the soft cheese and throw it back into the whey and mix it back and shake it up and homogenize it and make it back into milk, maybe that would be a kasha. Then you would have a kasha. And then the teretz would be given by the Vilna Gaon that even if there is bona by non-buildings, but sosa there isn't. That's l'chola there's not. Sosa is only by batim, in a halim, in rooms, and there's no sosa by that. So the pashtus over here, shoyver adam esachavis, what is he doing over here? It's number one, it's stira bekalim.
Yeah.
Stira bekalim to begin with is not a malacha deraisa. Number two, it's seisa shalom and aslivnus. It's not mistaken, it's makalko. So it's a double derabbanan. So shvuz de shvuz. A shvuz de shvuz is aser, but it's a double derabbanan because the whole malacha of seisa by oichlim or by kalim is to begin with only derabbanan. And it's not a misakin, it's a mekalkel. So it's mekala mekalkel and turim pater avalos. It's only osim derabbanan. So it's a double derabbanan, which is still osir. But if it's b'makam mitzvah, shuz the shuz b'makam mitzvah, that's what we're asking. Is mutter? That's a gemara. We're used to the gemara in Erevin. The gemara tells a story. There was a bris on Shabbos. The baby was born on Shabbos, and the milah bizman should take place on Shabbos. But they needed warm water in order to bathe the baby in advance to make sure it doesn't get infection. So there was warm water, but it wasn't in this home where the baby was. So they needed someone to carry. There was no Erev. So the Gemara says, if you ask a Nachri to carry, it's permissible. So the Gemara asks, but why are you allowed to ask a Nachri? I mean, a Nachri is not allowed on Shabbos. So the Gemara says, well, it's only a Carmelist to begin with. We're not talking is carrying on a highway. It's carrying in a Chotze Sheinim Urevis. So since it's a double Derabbanan, it's B'makam Mitzvah Smilah, so we allow it. So Tesis in Gittin is not sure what pshat in the Gemara is. Is it only a special hat to be mokam milah bizmana? Because milah bizmana is deicha malocha deraisa.
Yes.
So milah bizmana is a very powerful koyach hatchiyah. Maybe that's why it's mutter. What about other mitzvahs? Are you mat the shuz be mokam mitzvah if it's another mitzvah? So the 2 days in Tesis in the Shulchan Aruch we pass them that it's mutter. What's the raya? What's the mokka that is mutter? The raya is this Mishnah? Shoyver adam esachavit. That's exactly what the Mishnah is all about. The whole malacha that he's violating is soser. He's doing stira. He's breaking a chavis, and it says so shalai almanas livnos. It's mekalkal. It's not misakin. So it's a double derabbanan to begin with, and it says kedei lechem emena gregus v'ainik Shabbos. He wants to eat the food. He wants to enjoy himself. So b'makom it's not that oichal nefesh is mata. I don't think the Rashba uses a lashon oichal nefesh in Shabbos daf kuf nevav. he throws you off a little bit. So he says, well, it's only the Rabbanon, so that's why it's Mutar. So the Rabbanon, Tzarichon Nefesh, is Mutar, and all the Rabbanon on Shabbos.
So it's only
I'm guessing perhaps what he means is when it's a double the Rabbanon, the Shmuz, the Shmuz, the Mach and Mitzvah, the Weissmendach, that's Mutter. That's how he
does it. But Vatschle is Havanasos Kehle, because then it will be a Stira and Manas Lufnois.
Then it will be a Mesak and Mana. No, then it will be Mesak and Mana.
But following the thoughts that you developed here, you say that the Stira is Kehle,
yeah.
The Stira is Kehle, push it without Amanas Lufnois, is a Meluche. But Amanas Lufnois, Stira is Kehle, so. If it is, if he is mischaven asas kelim, then it is a stiras kelim amnas livnois.
Yeah, then some loch deraisa.
Yeah,
then it be deraisa manish. So you're not allowed to break it in such a way. Then mikan v'yelech, this is the way the container is going to be. I can't get into the container. I can never get the food. So I'm going to break it in such a way. I'll be able to use it kavua like that. So that'll be misakin mona or osa pesach, whatever. That'll be a loch deraisa. So the Mishnah says you're permitted to crack the kli in a sloppy fashion, but you have to be careful not to do it in a neat fashion. Do it sloppy, it'll be a double derabbanan, a makom mitzvah is mutter. If you do it in a neat fashion, it'll be an isa deraisa. So frag the Gemara kasha, wait a minute. You just said before that whenever breaking a twig, are you allowed to break a twig in order lahariach bo? So the Gemara had a machlekes hatanaim. So the Gemara explained it depends on this issue. If you break the twig, adaita to make a toothpick, adaita to make a spit out of it, a kli. If that's a malacha deraisa, then there's what to discuss. Maybe yeah, maybe not. Maybe it's aser. Maybe you can say it's forbidden to break the twig in order to hariach boy. Shema, it'll lead to doing this malacha deraisa. But if breaking the twig to make a toothpick is maximum going to be the Rabbanan, then it's not shaykh to make gzer, it'll be a gzer al gzer. So if that's your cheshbon, whenever it's possible to come to a malacha deraisa, then you make a gzer de Rabbanan, you're not allowed to break it, even a sloppy job, maybe you'll do a nice job and do it in the night and that'll be a malacha. So what do you do with this Mishnah? If you'll be miskaven lasis kli, that is very na malacha deraisa. So how do you allow him to crack it in a sloppy fashion? What happened to your Gzeira de Rabbana? You just made a Gzeira de Rabbana. So the Gemara finally says, around 10 lines from the bottom, Amar Rabashi, Kitanya Ahi Bimustoki, that Mishnah Masechah Shabbos that allows you to crack the Kli open in order to get to the food, and you're not Goyza Shema, Shema will do it, Miskaben Lasses Kli. That's talking, it's not a Kli like this. It's not a Kli. It's a funny Kli that's held together with chewing gum or with paste or something. The whole thing is Shtiklach.
Resin.
Yeah. Yeah, with resin, the whole thing is held together. So it's hard to imagine the normal thing is going to do a sloppy job. There's no reason in the world that he should do a good job.
Then the question is the Chabad. The Chabad, you tell me what kind of kli is it? Is it a kli merely to keep garbage in the house?
Yeah.
And there's one kli. But the essence of the Chabad is to transport material from one place to another one. If I take out, it doesn't make any difference if I take out the cover or not the cover. If I take off the cover, it does not, the same kli I cannot send to transport anymore. I cannot ship with the same Chabad because it's already broken. I can use it for keeping clothes in the shmatas, but still a kli. There is a limit on it. When you cut off, when you break off, that you cannot use it for the original purpose that it was used for transporting.
Yeah, but
all
you can still use it for
new purposes.
Other you can still use it for new purposes.
This is the residue of anything that you do.
No. If you can use it for new purposes, then it's right on the second morning. Then it's right on the lock.
But everything is, you can use a pocket. Let's say, for you break a glass. You can use half the glass to keep water in.
No, but it's probably not going to use it. It's going to be jagged edge. It's going to cut its hand.
But still,
what the Gemara says.
For the original purpose, the Chavish.
What the Gemara says. The only time we allow that, the only time the Mishnah says this heter, that you permitted a shoes the shoes but makom mitzvah is mutter to crack the kli, is azah hechetim, so such a kli that it's far fetched that it's going to be miskaven lasses kli. But if there is such a likelihood, then there would be a gzeira derabbanan that you're not even allowed to crack it in order to get the food because of the gzeira that he made do a good job. So that's where Moshe has his discussion. If I'll open up a can on Shabbos and I'm going to throw the can in the garbage, I'm not interested in using the can. But still, if I would open up exactly the same pula, if I'll open up the can and be interested in using the can, then it'll be a malacha deraisa. I just made a Masakhen Mana. I just made a kli. So what good is it that you open the kin adaita to throw it out? But it's a useful kin, and other people would open the kin al das to reuse the kin. So what does it help that your intention is not to reuse it, but you can easily confuse the two, and you'll open the kin al das to reuse it? So you should have at least gzeira de rabbanan. So that's where Rav Moshe has at this chiddush. He thinks that opening kin is mutasha. I don't know. So he works very hard.
The thing is, if you have a kin which is completely closed, says food in it, is it considered a kli? Because you can't use that as a kli the way it is now. Yeah. Is that considered a kli when it's all completely sealed?
Even if it is considered a kli, but when you make a Pesach, Oysa Pesach is a malacha, either makabah
Pesach. No, you said about Oysa bar kli.
Yeah.
But is that considered a kli if it's completely closed? You're making a kli. I'm not. It's not a kli now if it's completely sealed.
It's a kli.
So you want to say it's not kli?
Yeah. It's not a kli, right? It's not a kli until I can use it. When you have a can which is completely sealed, you cannot use it as a kli. It's not a kli at all. Yeah, but that doesn't matter.
There shouldn't be a light. There's no shaylof in steel.
Yeah.
That's what I normal think.
Why is it
storage?
Huh? It's storing liquids and
food.
It doesn't matter, but
you can't use it. He says there's no ability to be mishtamish
b'chuliyos. That doesn't make it a clue.
You want here that any in here in being earlier on the second mana, you have to have the intent he wants to make a clue. So never mind that somebody else can use it as a clue. If he doesn't want to make it a clue, he's going to throw it away. So
yeah, but
okay.
the Gemara said if you're doing a pula, which with just a if you have a different thought in mind, that may turn out to be a malacha deraisa. So we don't permit you to do it with the kosher intentions because you can easily flip over to the osir intention. So that's a shaila. If opening up the can and intending to reuse it would constitute a malacha deraisa, so then opening up and intending to throw it out should be at least osir of the rabbanim.
Does it make a difference if you use the can open or not?
Now how else are you going to open it? The mail.
He's talking with the camera.
It's almost like homeless or something like that.
Sometimes you ever open that, you just lift it up.
Yeah. It's the same thing.
Why can't we say that's a keila to begin with? It's a keila to which he has no access. It's a keila that holds sardines. Oh, but there's a keila.
Yeah.
So what happens?
I thought it was a clea.
I'm sorry?
I thought it was a clea.
No, but it was a clea. So you're not making a clea by opening it.
But you're Oysa Pesach. You have a clea, you make a Pesach. That's also either Misak and Mona or Makaba Pati.
Yeah, but it's not an Oysa clea. It was a clea before. It was a clea that was not accessible without opening.
But I said Pesach is a malacha. I said Pesach is a malacha.
You make a hole in the and then when you open, it's not a clean.
Oh, okay. That's what others say. If you make a hole in the bottom, and make a hole in the side, so it's not shaykh to be used, so then it's not called Isaac. It's not called Isaac. Okay.
Yeah. You see by Shabbat, by certain things, that there has to be according to the person who has it, like by a matlis, a piece of cloth. For a noni, it's considered a piece of cloth like a hoitzur, right? For a noni, it will be considered the right size for a tzur, but for a rich person, it won't. So maybe by making it also, the fact that there are people who would use this ken for a kli, but I'm not intending to use it for a kli. I'm certainly going to throw it out.
Why? Certainly, some people, when they open up cans, they do reuse the cans.
No, yeah, but I know that I'm not.
But the minority.
You may decide to use it to hold coins.
If I wanted to use it, then it will be. But I know that I'm having machshuva here. I'm going to open it. I'm not going to use it.
No, so that's the shadow. The Gemara says that there's a gzeira d'rabbanan. If it's mustaki and it's far fetched that he's going to have in mind, so then it's muta, no chashash. But if it's not a mustaki, then there should be a gzeira d'rabbanan.
Mustaki is also a far fetched idea.
The Yokimte, is that sign of Mishnah? The Mustaki is a far fetched. That's a problem also.
That's always a problem.
That's what many do. Many Rabbans say.
Is there any head to make holes?
Yeah.
make a hole in it.
Make a hole in such a way that when you open the can, so it cannot function as a clue.
Yeah, we are
Ramosha was quoted as having said that to open up the cardboard milk containers, he's quoted as saying that that's a steam in Ma'al-Yisim when you open it up, that that's an Oisa Pesach. Because if you turn the milk container sideways or upside down, the milk will not go out when it's sealed. So he said that's an indication that that's a steam in Ma'al-Yisim. So if that's called Oisa Pesach, so opening up a can should certainly be Oisa Pesach. There's more of a steam in Ma'al-Yisim. The can is a better seal in it. Somehow Ramosha has a tshuva that is mutter to open up cans.
Can you take out the food, but from the bottle you don't take out the milk. If you would take out the milk, maybe it would be good also. From the can, when you open up a can of tuna, you take out the tuna and that's it.
Yeah.
But the milk, you open up the bottle, you still store it. You're storing it again.
That's what he says. Yeah.
So maybe that's a different. What about the same thing by a bottle like this? Right?
Soloveitchik has at different times when he discussed in class, when he discussed in shiur, but opening up cans. Yeah. So some years it came out later, so some years came out later.
No, he said that he does it, but in his mother's house they don't do it. This I remember he said.
Oh, yeah?
That he does, he says it's mutter, that he opens up cans, but when it's in his mother's house he doesn't open up cans. Mm-hmm. This I remember.
Steam amalius, meaning even after it was opened before, and this is the second time around, it is still a steam amalius, yeah?
No. Yeah, this is also, if you turn this sideways, not going to spill. But now it's not called the steam amalgam, because the cap is separate from the thing. It's screwed around so tightly, nothing will spill out. That's not a steam amalgam. If you have a barrel of wine, let's say, and you put on a lid, and you put tar or something around the side to hold the lid well to the bottom of the barrel in such a way that if you turn the barrel upside down, it will not leak. That's a steam amalgam. So then, when you remove the lid from the barrel, that's called Oisa Pesach.
Yeah, but from a milk bottle, about the milk bottle.
So that's what Moshe said, that they glue the milk container in such a way, not a bottle. The first time around, because it's glued together so well, sometimes not glued together so well. Sometimes it's leaking, but if it's if the milk container was the orange juice container, the cardboard container was glued together so well that it's not going to leak. So then, when you open it mechodesh and you reuse it, so then he says that that's always a pesach mechodesh because that was a steam amalgam.
It would be better to buy something with a screw cap rather than with
open it before Shabbos.
Before Shabbos, yeah. It's easy enough. Open it before Shabbos.
They call it spam.
The milk container is also not the same way. It's the same way as the bottle.
The milk container
has all the same.
I mean, it's not cardboard.
Not cardboard.
Okay. The difference.
But the bottle cap, when you open it up, becomes a can in itself. The can itself becomes a can.
Okay. So that's another discussion. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach made a distinction between these caps and the metal caps on top of the wine containers, the wine bottles. So he said that these were made as caps before they put them on. They had the shape of the cap before they put it on. So then when you open it and you make it into a cap, it already was a cap from before. You're not making it. Just making it. When you open it, so you're ripping the bottom from the top. See, somehow he thought that that's not a malacha. To rip the bottom from the top on the perforation, he didn't consider that a malacha. Other people argue that's mechatach b'mida. When you rip on the perforation, mechatach b'mida. So he says that it's not. He writes that he thinks that ripping the toilet paper on the perforation, he thinks it's also not a malacha. He doesn't think that it's mechatach b'mida. He thinks that it's mechatach shalad b'mida. I don't know. I don't know why not. But so he says that he doesn't consider this mechatach b'mida, and he doesn't consider it making a kli. It's not always the Pesach, because the container is one thing and the top is another thing. Let's say now, if you open it, you're going to say it's always the Pesach? No. The top and the bottom are separate.
Separate manufacturers.
Huh?
Separate manufacturers.
Separate things. Ramosha says when it's held together so well that it's a steam amalgam, it's a Pesach and Chodesh, somehow he ignores that. I don't know. He considers it two separate things.
A lot of money in Israel to prevent a special cup for Shabbos. They spend $1 million
to make this kind of cash.
Special
cup for Shabbos. So Shlomo says, Masheni came, the wine bottles or the grape juice bottles, which are made from metal, So he says the description of how it's manufactured is that they don't have a cap shape and then they put it on top. They have a flat piece of metal and they put it on top and then they form it after it's on top of the container, then they form it into a cap. Yeah. So it never really functioned and never really existed as a cap until you unscrew it, until you make it into a cap. So he said that taking off that metal cap, that's asiya mechadash of a kli of the cap.
You're detaching the plastic from the container.
Let's say if you have a container of yogurt. And there's a
plastic, a cup,
piece of plastic or something on top. So I think these are two separate things. Yeah. So when you separate the plastic cover from the plastic container, the soft one from the hard one, I don't think that's called Oisa Pesach Mechon. I think they're considered two different things. I think Rav Moshe's idea that the milk container, when you glue it together well, everything blends in to be one unit, that's because everything is cardboard. So that's called the stima ma'al yaseh, or if you have a barrel, so everything is holding together. But I think if it's clearly, let's say, the cock that you pull out from the orange juice, I think this is one material,
this is
and
plastic,
I think
this is cardboard.
It's a different, yeah, it's a different kind of material.
Yeah,
I think, yeah.
The Kedem has stopped now making the cups, the screw-on cups from metal. They're making it now from plastic.
What?
Kedem, on the grape.
Because people opened it on Shabbos, they say.
Yeah. Okay. Kedem used to make these cups from metal.
From metal.
Now they're making it from plastic.
Because the Shlomo Zalman says you're not allowed to open the metal one.
Yeah.
So he holds it that. So now they make it like this, that it should be mutter on Shabbos.
Okay. Kamel winds the metric.
Uh-huh. Okay.
It doesn't say it's a plastic thing, it's just twisted and opens up the whole cup comes out. Without tearing, without anything.
Yeah, that's the new stuff that they
when you open a container
of yogurt.
One piece. It doesn't even detach from the bottom.
Aluminum.
No problem, everything is open.
Okay.
You have to
break it. Okay. Mishnah Lamed Gimel Lamed Aleph quotes a Machlekes Hatanoim. This is not so negetas, but we got to know what the Mishnah means. Mishnah quotes Machlekes Ablezen HaChamim. A person wants to cook food on Shabbos. So he wants it on Yontif. Excuse me, on Yontif. He wants to keep warm on Yontif. So he needs a lot of logs. So he has logs all over the chutzah. So Rav Lezer says that all the logs in the chutzah, they're not mukta. It's understood. All week long, when he's going to need the logs, he's going to use it. It's not a discovery, it's not a chiddush. It's as if it's all mukhan v'yoymeh, nothing is mukta. So Rav Lezer says, you're permitted, megabev, it's lamed gimel lamed aleph in the Mishnah, the third line from the beginning of the Mishnah. Well, megabev, he's permitted to gather together. Mina chotzer is permitted to gather together logs from the chotzer, umadlik, and to burn them in order to keep warm, in order to cook food on Yontif. Everything is mukha, nothing is mukta. And the Chachamim disagree. No, it's only megabit mishalafon of a madlik. It's only permitted to gather the logs that are in front of him. Now let it go gather the rest of the logs in the whole chatzim. What's the problem? What the Chachamim hold that it's mukta? Why should it be mukta? It's not daita lakach. Well, what then are all the logs there for? So the Gemara says, no, but my komifligi. Gemara has here about six, 7 lines from the bottom of Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis. Tanabong, Gemara quotes the bottom. My comment, please, was by state the Machlekes. So Gemara says, Shaila for that Mar Isayin. The Chachamim really are masking with Rav Lezer that the rest of the logs in the Chotzer are not Muktzer. Everything is Masha B'Chotzer is Mukhanhu. But Chum say the guy's going to go gathering together all the logs. It looks as if he's preparing for Yimosacho. Mar Sova, the Chachamim thing, Merci, it looks as if, Tamar Isayin, the Chomachnef, he's gathering together for Lamachar. Well, the Yoy Machrina for a different day. It's a Marisayin of Achonim. Well, Mar Sova, Rav Lezer says there's no Gzeira. Kidei Rasa Mochachasol. If he has a pot on the fire, or it's freezing, and he wants to light the furnace to keep warm, or he has a pot on the fire, he wants to cook it. So the fact that the circumstances are obvious, why he wants to make the fire, so it makes it that there's no Marisayin. He needs all the logs, so he can go gather together. Machlekes and Nachashash of Marisayin. Okay. Then the Mishnah says the din, this is a famous din, that even though you're permitted on Yontif to use fire to cook or to keep the body warm, but you're not allowed to strike a match on Yontif. So the Mishnah gives, to be moiled Eish Mechadush, you're not allowed to. So the Mishnah gives all the different ways how you can be Moilet Eish Mechadosh. Then the Gemara says, what's wrong with that? So the Gemara in the bottom of the ice, because Moilet beyond us, and it doesn't help. But Moilet is not from the Lamitas as well. What's Moilet? What's the Tegeton? What's wrong with Moilet? You don't know exactly. Huh? But if he has a fire and he throws in a log, it's also the same Moilet Baruesh. It's not Moilet Baruesh, whether he strikes a match. Shabbos doesn't make a difference. The same malacha there, I said, whether he strikes a match or the flame is burning and he throws something into it. So what happened on Yom Tov all of a sudden? Why is it different? So the Rambam writes over here because he could have done it in Bod Yom. He could have lit the flame in Bod Yom. He can't put in all the logs in Bod Yom. Yeah. He wants a little at a time. He doesn't want to use up all the logs. But he could have lit the flame. So what if he could have lit the flame in Bod Yom? So what's the explanation? So the Taz quotes that Rambam, and Taz says, oh, you see the Rambam? See the Rambam? That makes it an Issa Deraisa. The Achrayim don't understand. How did it become an Issa Deraisa because of the Rambam's explanation? They don't accept the Taz. It's only an Issa Derabbanan. To light a match on Yom Tov is maximum an Issa Derabbanan. It's not going to be an Issa Deraisa. Midrabbanan, they wanted to tone down the Hetarach HaNev. So he said, bad enough that we allow it, good enough that we permit you to throw logs in, yeah, but don't strike them out.
Are there any standards in terms of Marasayan? It seems to me, it depends on whom you're freshing. It's a diminution of trust in your fellow Ben Yisrael. You have so many fullness of Marasayan. I mean, why should you be freshing that way? I mean, what?
There are two kinds of Marisayin. The Gemara, the Stechemet shows from Achrayim, there are two kinds of Marisayin. Sometimes Marisayin is, I'm doing something which is Mutter, but they'll think that I'm doing something else, which is Aser, and they'll think that it's Mutter. They'll think that it's Mutter. It's really not Mutter. So it's not that I'm doing an Aver. Other Rabbi, no, I'm a rabbi, whatever I do is Mutter, but it's Lifnei Iver. I'm being Machshavim into thinking, let's say I go into a Trefer restaurant, I'm going to a Trefer restaurant in order to use the telephone, in order to use the men's room. So the people were thinking, it must be a kosher restaurant. So then next week they'll go in and they'll buy food over there. That's one kind of marisayin. Then there's another kind of marisayin, like you say, that they'll be choshed that I'm doing an averus. I'm ruining my reputation. It's like saying lashon hara against oneself. So sometimes it's disisa, sometimes it's chashoda. That marisayin is chashoda. They'll be choshed that I'm doing an averus. And sometimes the marisayin is really a form of lifnei v'lisit mikshol. So you always have to be concerned about the ball. Right, that's how we fasting. You can only use the logs that are close to you. That's how we fast. And then the Mishnah Brura has on this din about Moel Resh Mechadosh, he has a Machloikes Achrein, and what's the din in the following case? Let's say I have matches on Yontif. So you're not allowed to strike a match on Yontif. Let's say you have, in order for the match to catch flame, you don't have to strike it. If I take a match and I put it on a very warm surface and a very hot surface, it'll light up, even though I don't use any pressure. So that's a shaila. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Ksav Sofer from Malachim. That was a big machlokes. Is that called Moilet Eish Mechadosh? If I have, let's say, I have warm coals that are black. They're not red. If the coals are red, so the coals themselves are called Eish, red coals. But the black coals are, let's say, I have an electric stove, and the coils are black. So when it's very high and the coils are orange, so that itself is Eish. The coils are black, but it's very hot. If I put my finger, I'll burn my finger. So I take a match, I don't strike the match, I just put the match on, and right away it'll flare up into a flame. So is that called Moilet Eish Mechadosh or not? So the Ksav Sefer writes, and he remembers that there was a machlokes about that, whether you're permitted to do it, and many Gdolim held that that's permissible. Some held permissible, some held us. So that was the shaila about turning on electricity. That some said that turning on the lights on Yom Tov, maybe it's not Moilet Eish Mechadosh, because you're not really using pressure in order to cause to create a new flame. You're just completing the circuit, and the electricity goes through.
The Makhlev Padish or Bone to complete the circuit, isn't it?
That's a shaila. So the Chazanish came up with that chiddush, that to complete a circuit, he writes in the sefer, he's convinced that it's a nisa malacha deraisa, but he's not sure which malacha. He's convinced that it's a malacha deraisa, but he's not sure. How can he be so convinced? Convinced absolutely a malacha deraisa. It's either makaba patish or it's bona, one or the other. They told me that Rav Moshe Feinstein said, what electricity is all about. Then of all Feinstein, what electricity, well, how could he say such a thing?
Yeah.
And other people say, I remember one professor of the Yeshiva College once said, you have to know physics well in order to appreciate the Chazon Ish, in order to understand why. Now, Moshe Feinstein said, when about Pashtan what electricity was, he wouldn't say such a thing. That's a shaila. Most of the poskim assume that completing a circuit, let's say I complete a circuit and the fan starts running, or the elevator starts working, or the refrigerator starts working. So most assume that that's only makabah patish midirabonim, that it's not a makabah patish deraisa. So if you ask a nochri to take you in the elevator, so must assume that would be a shvuz de shvuz.
That's only beyond Shabbos, the same thing too.
Also on Shabbos, Shabbos also. Must assume that that's only a derabbanon. Shabbos, I can walk up the staircase myself. What do you have to violate shvuz de shvuz? B'makom mitzvah means if I won't use the heter, I'll remain without the mitzvah. Yeah. I walk up two flights of stairs. It depends. If you have to walk up 15 flights to get all exhausted, so that itself is a mitzvah not to get exhausted. It's also a mitzvah. Okay.
It's healthy to walk there.
So that's why most of the Gdolim are a little makel on these things. They hold that completing a circuit per se doesn't constitute a malacha deraisa. So that's only a malacha makabah patish midirabon.
What's it mean by if you have those dimmers on yontif, right?
Yeah.
Dimmers.
A dimmer.
Now, you have the light when you sit by the table, it's fully bright. You're not going to shut it, but you want to decrease the amount of light. Can you do that? Is that considered like...
Mechabe.
But it's not letzorech ochel, so you wouldn't be allowed to do it, right?
Allowed to.
You're not allowed to.
The Moshe writes, is it permissible to lower...
Moshe
discussed, are you permitted to lower the flame?
Yeah.
Let's say you have the flame on yontif, are you permitted to lower the flame? So he says, if you put on soup and it's going to burn because the flame is too high, it's not that it's going to cook fast, it'll burn. So then he passes that mechabe is mutar letzorech ochel nefesh, against the Mishnah Brura. So he says it's permissible to do mechabe letzorech ochel nefesh, but he says if you're not putting on food, you just don't want the house to be so. You don't want the kitchen to be so hot. You don't want to waste so much
electricity.
Yes. So then he says you're only permitted to turn it lower if you assume it's permissible to turn it off in Gansen. But if you're not allowed to turn off the flame.
Right.
Then you're not allowed to turn it lower either, unless it's tzarech ochel nefesh. But if you're allowed to turn off the flame, then you're allowed to turn it lower either. So now that's the question: is it permissible to turn off the flame? So Moshe says he doesn't want to write about that. So they say that Rabbi Tendler published many years ago, 40 years ago. Rabbi Tendler published 45 years ago, more than 45 years ago. Rabbi Tendler published the Dvar in the Beis Yitzchak. I think it's a green Beis Yitzchak. Soft color green basis, where he wrote the whole argument why it's mutter to turn off the flame on Yontif, and then the last line he writes, and he discussed it with an Adam Gadol, and Adam Gadol was masking with him. So they say on the east side that all about them know that Rav Moshe used to turn off the flame on Yontif, that he convinced Rav Moshe that it's mutter.
So
electricity would be. Most people do not subscribe to this head.
Yeah. So if according to Rav Moshe would be allowed to turn off a light also then?
No.
Why not? What's that different than that?
No. Rabbi Tendler convinced Rav Moshe of the following. That let's say the house is burning down. The house is burning. And I take all of the furniture and all the svarim and everything to a different room. So the fire should die a natural death and it shouldn't burn more fuel. So that's mechabe. That's not mechabe. I took away the potential fuel. Mechabe is if I come and I pour water and I extinguish. Or I blow out the candles. The candles are burning, I blow out the candles. But if I take away the potential fuel, And the mela, the fire, uses up all the fuel that's in the mela. It dies a natural death. So that's what the Rabbi Tendler argued. His lashon was, the gas is coming from Poughkeepsie, the gas is coming from Alaska, whatever, the gas is coming. So when you turn off the dial, so you block the supply of gas from all the way over there, so the potential fuel that would have come doesn't come, so the fire dies a natural death. You're not blowing out the flame. He says if you blow out the flame, that's mechaber. If you pour water on the flame, that's mechaber. But if you turn off the flame, what you're doing is you're preventing the potential, what would have possibly served as fuel for the flame, so you block it from coming.
How's the difference from electricity? The electricity also, when I shut off, I prevent from opening it.
No, but the thing that's burning by electricity is this metal, this filament itself.
Yeah, uh-huh.
So this filament is now not burning. But here, what's burning is the gas. That gas burns out. The new gas, don't let the new gas come. So that's the question, is this cheshbon oisgehalt or not? So that's what we learned at Gemara. So I thought the Pashtus and Taisus is not so, because Taisus asks, why does it handing more hamistafik man Hashem and Shebenair? If you have a cup of oil that's burning with a wick, if you put in a spoon and you take out some of the oil, so it's a violation of mechaber. Why is that mechaber? Taisus says because it's going to go out a half an hour earlier. And Taisus says no. If you have a candle and you cut off the bottom, Taisus claims that it's not mechaber. Machlekes. Taisus says that it's not mechaber. Just going to go out an hour earlier. So what's wrong if you take out oil? So the candle will go out an hour earlier. So what? So that's not a malachas. Taisus says no, because when you take out part of the oil, right away the flame diminishes somehow. Taisus says it's noticeable right away. No, but we assume like Taisus. I thought so. Oh yeah, I don't know. I thought that the same as a kavachaimer.
I thought it's a kavachaimer
that's true by the gas. You turn off the gas, the perception is that right away goes out.
Let's say you have the stove with electric, it goes with spark, and then, but it takes a time. In the time, it lights up until the gas reaches those sparks. Would that be considered directly putting on a match? Would that be mean of Maylad? Or is that indirect? In other words, when you turn the handle, sparks come. And nothing happens. It takes 2-3 seconds before the gas ignites with the spark. Is that considered direct?
Moldeh Shemachanesh, yeah. I thought that's what you're not allowed to do.
It's in the match itself.
Doesn't matter.
And when you turn the handle, you have nothing to do with the sparks anymore. It's going by itself. And then the gas,
without you turning
it, there's no fire with the time you turn the spark.
No, it takes a while, okay.
So that's still considered the way
back. I thought so. Yeah.
See, as a halacha, that if you have a whip inside a lot of around the fire of malts and fat, and you're allowed to take away some of the whips of fat, the globs of fat, which are far away from the fat, because when you remove it, I think this is mentioned, so a halacha is so rough, that if you take away that fat, you're not at that time diminishing the fire. So that theory is probably similar to what Moshe Tandler is saying, the fact that you're turning off the circuit, the gas that you're turning off here is something which is far away, and you're really extinguishing it.
No, but right away the flame goes out. This is what you're saying is the same as what Tyson says. I have a tall candle. The candle's going to burn a few hours. And Tyson says it's permissible to cut off the bottom because it doesn't affect the flame on top. What will affect is that the flame will go out 2 hours early.
Really, right.
So Taisa says that's permissible.
Right.
Other Rishonim disagree. Rosh disagree. Taisa says that's mutter. That's not mechaber. So what's wrong if you put in a spoon and you take out part of the oil? What's wrong? So it'll go out a half an hour earlier. Taisa says no. When you take out the oil, right away the flame is diminished. Immediately the flame is diminished. So if you do something and right away the flame goes out, so the Pashtus is.
So
Rabbi Tendler claims, or Rabbi Tendler convinced Rabbi Moshe that here it's better. Because here the oil is in the container. It's not that it's potential fuel that may become fuel. The flame is already sitting on top of this fuel. As opposed to here, the fuel didn't even come yet. It's far away. But since it didn't even come, even if immediately the flame goes out, That's at the Goma.
That's another issue. You're not destroying anything. That gas is going to go someplace else.
When
you cut off the fire, you're not going to burn unless you light it again. He has a gas that didn't come to the Maya Mark.
No, it's not going to go someplace. No. The gas stops by the blockage. That gas that comes into your house doesn't, when you cause the blockage, doesn't go someplace else. The gas
doesn't catch it.
It doesn't go.
It
doesn't
go. It just stays in until I open it up. Yeah, probably. All right, but I didn't destroy anything. It's still there.
But it's not a question of destroying. Question of Machaber. Question of Machaber. According to him, it should be permissible on Shabbos. Yeah. Why shouldn't he be allowed to turn off the flame on Shabbos?
I just learned from him how he says in Hebrew.
That is Kibbutz.
Yeah.
Because you put out the flame. That's the put out the flame. But over here, Rabbi Tendler argues. This is not Mechaber. You didn't put out the flame. You just prevented additional gas
by cutting off the candle.
Yeah, I mean, it's not a point. Yeah. You prevented air from coming.
But what air? The air is there. The air is there.
That prevents the oxygen from coming.
What oxygen? How's it preventing the oxygen?
No, he said that if you put a cup on top of a flame, why is that Mechaber?
Yeah, but because that's
no. But here, here I have a flame.
Yeah,
there was a flame that was burning, and I caused that flame to go out. Here, I didn't cause the flame to go out. The flame burnt up all the fuel. And remember, there's no more fuel. Yeah, but here there was a flame with a wick that could have burned.
Yeah.
And now I caused that flame to go out.
There's different ways of causing the flame to go out.
Right.
Either by blowing or taking away the air.
By taking away, I understand what Rabbi Tendler said. But Rabbi Moshe wrote that there's a ponable account and ponable account. So I personally, my heart tells me the other way. I don't know. Okay.
I don't have gas in the house.
People
I don't know.
Light is oil Friday night. And they put half of the canister with water, half of it with oil. And then when it reaches
the water,
it
goes out.
It doesn't smoke. It goes out, yeah.
So that's all right.
The Taisa, it should have been Mutter. For sure it's Mutter Menat Torah. Taisa on the last daf in Perakira claims that that's forbidden Midirabon. That you're not allowed to put oil on the bottom, not allowed to put water on the bottom of the candle that it should extinguish. That's Episanisa, especially.
Even though I set it up before?
Even though you set it up on Erev Shabbos. The Taisa on the last daf in Perakira. It's quoted in Shulchan Aruch.
Yeah.
Shulchan Aruch, they quote that Taisa. You're not permitted to put... Like Taisa. Yeah, they quote that Taisa in Shulchan Aruch. They're talking about candles. If you have a candle, you're not allowed to leave water on the bottom so that when the wick, when the flame comes to the bottom, it should get extinguished. So it says you're not allowed to do that.
What about
the it's not a malach of the rice. The Zera Shema, you'll do it on Shabbos. The Zera Lest, you'll do it on Shabbos. That's how Taisa interpreted the Gemara.
A lot of people now use those glass containers. And they put a little bit of water at the bottom. So
right. That's what he says.
Yeah.
So the Pashta says that you're not allowed to do it. Yeah. Okay. Then the Gemara goes into a discussion. The Mishnah says, you're not allowed to be moiled Eish Mechadosh. Not allowed to cause the flame. Not allowed to strike a match. Then the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to strike a match on the shingles on the roof. Shingles on the building are often rough surfaces, so you shouldn't strike a match. And then while it's talking about shingles on the roof, so it says, you're not allowed to take one of these let's say I have extra shingles. When I made the roof on the bungalow, I have a couple of extra shingles, and they're apparently fireproof. So if I want to take one of them in order to broil a fish, or in order to broil some chicken or something on Yom Tov, so you're not allowed to use one of the shingles in order to broil fish on onion. The Gemara, why not?
Yeah.
What's wrong? What's the malacha? So the Gemara has a machloikis. Maika Ovid, Fregdim on the bottom of Lam Gimon base. What's the tegaton? What's the malacha? Well, he's not allowed to cook fish on yontif. What did he do that's wrong? So the Gemara, machloikis, we're talking about brand new shingles that were never hachabarafim chadosh maskina. They were never used before for broiling purposes. So the chashash is b'nei shetzach lebotkan. You have to see, it may not work. If it's a shingle or a thing that you use once, twice, three times before, you know that it works, it's not going to fall apart. So then you're allowed to use it on Yom Tov. It's another pot. So you're broiling your fish in a pot. But if you have a brand new shingle which you never used before, so the whole thing may fall apart, may collapse, it'll turn out that you did a whole tircha shelo l'tzorach. You wasted effort and energy on Yom Tov. That's the top Rashi. Ishtakach the torach shelo l'tzorach. It'll come out that he wasted a lot of effort and energy for no good purpose.
The whole of what that he did is just a tircha the whole. What happens on Yom Tov if you want to take a lens and concentrate the sun on a piece of paper to light it? Are you allowed to do that? Is that called also an Eilat Aish Kudosh?
That's also an Eilat Aish Kudosh.
Why? The sun is there. And
you didn't use
I
didn't
any
friction.
Striking. It's just the light in the sun is there. I didn't...
That should probably depend on this
machlekes.
Yeah, Mustafa, that depends on this machlekes about taking the match and putting it on a hot coal that's not red, on a black coal.
The sun is red. It's just it's not red here.
It's not here? Okay. So here we're Moilad Eish Mechodesh. There's no Eish over here. There's an Eish over there, but there's no Eish over here. It's just warmth, and I'm converting the warmth into flame.
Is that in the Mishnah where it says, Mayim, Rashi says, Mayim, the police focus, and Noisim, the Fama, and Shemish Chama, Oi, Sufis, Metzia, Shal Hevet, Mavina, Oreth, Mavim, Sufis, Mavim, Sufis,
Mavim, Pashup Shat is like the magnifying glass. Pashup Shat and Rashi is that it's us?
Yes.
Like it's more than
glass that's moving
in the mind.
This is talking Shabbos or Yom Tov?
Yom Tov. Alam Gimel Amad Aleph. Rashi gives you a whole description
of how to do it.
Sounds exactly like that.
Yeah.
It quotes a Pirish on Sefer Yetzirah.
Yeah.
They have a misprint in Rashi. It says that he's quoting a piyut for Yotzer, for Shachris, piyut for Yotzer. So there is no piyut for Yotzer. It says a Pirish on Sefer Yetzirah Davshtein. A Pirish on Sefer Yetzirah gives you this whole story how to use a magnifying glass to make a flame. So Rashi and Sefer. And that's not called Moilad Eish Mechodesh. Wow. That's even a bigger Chiddush than what the Ksav Sefer says. So if Sefer writes, he remembers Bialdusa, there were Gedolim who held you permitted to put, they used to do, they would put a match, they wouldn't strike the match, they would put the match on black coals. Because it was warm, so the match would ignite, the flame would ignite. But to strike a match, that they all assume is not allowed.
Any use of putting a match, attaching a match to a candle?
No.
Flame.
No, that's already an existing flame. That's not a problem. That's for sure not a problem. That's not Moilad Eish Mechodesh.
That's what you do all the time. You don't want to light.
So the Gemara has two interpretations. What's wrong? Why are you not permitted to use the shingle in order to broil the fish on Yom Tov? So the first suggestion is that it's Rofim Chadosh. We never used it before. So the whole thing may fall apart. It may not work. It will come out that you did tircha shalotzach. You wasted a lot of time attempting to cook your fish. And
if you're allowed to cook, then you're allowed to cook it on Yom Tov.
You're allowed to cook on Yom Tov.
You're allowed to cook if you're a bad cook.
If you're a lousy cook, Okay. Only experts are permitted to cook on Yom Tov. Otherwise, a tircha shalotzach.
That's why you have to let your wife cook. You'll cook.
Okay. And the next Amira says, no. That's not the chashash. But Amri lo, and another version has it on the top line on Lamedalanim. No, Amri lo, another version has it. Nishitzoch lechasmon. Not so much nishitzoch lebotkin. It may turn out that it's tircha shelo letzorech, but rather the first time you take a shingle and you put it on a flame to broil something on it, that's a misakin mon on the shingle. It makes the shingle stronger. Okay.
What does it mean? The heat makes it stronger, or the juice that goes into it?
No, the heat.
So what does that mean?
The first time, if you take a shingle mechadosh rof from chadoshim that were never used before, that were never on fire before, now you're going to put it on the fire. That will be a makabah patish.
Therefore, you're not allowed to put them on the roof to heat them up.
I'm not on the roof. No, there's a leftover shingle. When I made my house, I have leftover shingles.
Right.
I'm going to use one of the shingles to broil a fish on the fire.
Yeah.
So you're not allowed to put a brand new shingle on the fire because that's makabah patish on the shingle.
I thought those roofing got hot for lying from the roof from the sun.
No, that's the two things in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you're not allowed to be moderesh mechadash on the roofing. That's one thing.
Yeah.
And by the way, we're talking about shingles. So then it says nachadim veimalabdim as harofim litzlus behem. The last line of the Mishnah. You're not allowed to use shingles in order to broil. So Gemara says, why not? If you can use a pot and a pan, why can't you use shingles?
Could it be that we use stone, we mean stone shingles, not what's name, not wooden shingles? We mean stone shingles.
I don't think it's wooden.
You wouldn't broil on the fish on the wooden shingles.
Right, I don't think it's
only on stone.
I thought it's like hair. My impression was that it was
clay. The stone would get out from the clay.
And the stone is...
Get out from the...
Yeah, but is that a makabah patish on the stone?
Yeah, it's improving. It's making a better shingle.
Yeah, okay.
Whatever makes it better.
Some kind of, whatever makes it better. That's the makabah patish.
But it's stone shingles, it's not wooden
shingles. No, not wood. I don't think it was wood.
Okay. Don't put wood on the roof to make a roof of wood covers.
Okay. So now the Gemara Hatashaila, which is Negel Alachatas. We sometimes have a din. Normally, when you shecht a chicken or you shecht a behemah, there are so many possibilities of treifas that we are not concerned about all of the possibilities of treifas. We follow Roy behemah's ksheris and a Roy reifas ksheris. You don't have to go be baidik for all the treifas. The only thing we're baidik for is the sirchas on the lungs. So we had, there was a Rambam in the beginning of Chulin explains that's a miotamotzi. The Mishkan and Sanger says more than 10% is called the miotamotzi. So trefus on the lungs is more than 10%, something like 15-16% trefus because of sirchus. So that you mukhayib the Rabbanim to be boidik. This is still not a dim in our term. In our term you can still rely on the right. But in the Rabbanim, if you have a miotamotzi, you have to be boidik. Same thing for the bugs or worms, let's say. If you have a vegetable, and you plan to eat such a portion of the vegetable, so what is the likelihood, what is the chance that you may be eating a bug or a part of a bug? See, if the likelihood is 10% or more, that's a meal tamot, then the Gemara says, that you have to be boidik the vegetable in advance to make sure that you're not eating any bugs. Let's say it's only 5% chance, but you enjoy eating the vegetables, you eat a double portion. So then by you there's a 10% chance. So everybody else only eats one portion, is a 5% chance, and they're not mukhayif to go look for bugs. But if you plan to eat double portion, so by you, you just multiplied by two, so it's a 10% likelihood that you will be eating a bug. And then the din requires, you have to check in advance. Okay. So there's a din of miotamotsui. It's a din of the rabbanim. Whenever there's a miotamotsui, you have to be bugged. So the only thing we're concerned, miotamotsui is sirchus on the lungs by behemoths. By chickens, we're not concerned about it. And all the other traders, we're not concerned. But what happens... What happens if the farmer, if there's a reyeser, the behemoth fell down a flight of stairs, or somebody was running, the farmer was running around on the farm, and he stepped on the chicken, and he stepped on the chicken, he's a 300-pound farmer. So it could be the chicken is a traitor, it could be it broke a lot of ribs over there. So that's the Mishnah. If Darsa, if he trampled, the Gemara calls the Mishnah Chulin, the second line from the top. Tanan Hasim, it says the Mishnah Chulin, Dorsa, he walked on the chicken. Oh, Shatar for the Kaisel, by mistake, he took the chicken, he threw it against the wall, and then it fell down. So there's a reyeser, there's a latest hasafik. Maybe it broke a couple of ribs, maybe it became a trefer. Or other cases like that, whenever you have a reyeser. So then it's not enough just to check for sirchus on the reyeh and the behemoth. Then you have to check for other things over here. So then the Mishnah requires you have to have shasa meislei, so it has to live. Has to survive. If you shecht it within 24 hours, then nothing is going to help. You have to first see that the chicken survives 24 hours. Rashi said you have to wait a whole year. If you wait 12 months and the animal survives, we sometimes would assume that that's a right, that it's not a trefa. Because trefa ain't a chaya. Trefa will not live for 12 months. But the guy's not interested in waiting 12 months. So the din only requires over here, when there's a latest asafik this kind, you have to wait shasa meislei, you have to wait 24 hours, and then if you shecht it, it's good, zog the Gemara, just a minute, not so fast. And after you shecht it, then you have to check to make sure that the ribs were not broken. If the ribs were broken in such a way, it makes a trefa tagish. So now the Gemara hatashayla, we know that the din is that you're permitted to shecht chickens on yontif. What if you have such a chicken? You're allowed to shecht a chicken was trampled on or was thrown against the God all to death, and then he waited 24 hours, and now it's yontif, he wants to eat chicken for yontif. But he has to be biting this chicken to see that there's a possibility, maybe yeah, maybe not, may turn out to be a treif. Any chicken may turn out to be a treif, but you're never concerned about it. You usually say, Rav, Behemus, Cheris, and Rav is Arothic Cheris. But here, with this, the latest Asafi, so the Gemara is not sure, Boimene Rav Yermi, Merab Zer, Mal the Shachta Beyonta, what's the din? Are you allowed to shech such a chicken on Yonta? They must be keen to raise the Beyonta for Eloi. So you say it's permissible or not. So the Gemara says, well, look, it says in the Mishnah that you're not permitted to broil on this brand new shingle that was never used before. And we had, and with the first interpretation, the first explanation that the Moran gave was that we're not sure if it's going to work. The whole thing may fall apart. And it'll come out that it's a tircha shalola tzorah. So, you see from the Mishnah that whenever there's a concern that it may not work, you're not so convinced that it's going to work. You're not allowed to do it. So here also, shechting such a chicken.
That even worse, because I'm malocha deraisa you're doing.
Yes, it may come out that you're doing a malocha deraisa. It may turn out that that you're not allowed to. Yeah. Maybe it should be also.
That's only about.
It may fall apart. So then from the Gemara, but we don't hold like that. That's not the reason. We hold the second reason. That it's makala patish. That's what he says. That's not. So therefore he holds that it's mutter. He doesn't accept it. When he asked the Shaila, Boy Mener Rab Yirmi Rab Zera. Rab Yirmi asked Rab Zera, what's the din? So he tried to prove from the Mishnah that it's also. So he says, no, but we don't hold from that reason. We hold from the reason when they should tzach lochasman, it's makabah patish. We're not worried about the may fall apart. And it falls apart, so you tried, and it didn't work out. So here he says, you're allowed a shech. So that's the Shaila that the Shagasari picks up. All right, the Gemara says that it's mutter, even though there was a race, it's mutter. What about Heinz Bismanazer that we introduced so many chumras in Hilchas Shechita that Shia Mashahu Pasels in all kinds of treifas when Machman is, when Machman that? So it came out that Bismanag Gemara, a very low percentage of chickens would turn out to be treifas. Bismanazer, very high, much higher percentage of chickens will turn out to be nevelas of treifas because of chumras that we have accumulated over the centuries. So that's what the Shakhtar raised the question. Maybe Bizmanazet should not no longer be permissible to Shech Tan Yomta because of all the Chumras. It may turn out that you did the Tircha Shalol Atzach. Anyway, by us, for sure, we're not allowed to Shech chickens. We discussed it. Because we normally do not Shech chickens right before we're interested in eating. Years ago, when they didn't have refrigerators, okay, 7 years ago in Eretz Yisrael, or even in America, maybe, people didn't have refrigerators, so the practice was they would shech the chicken and eat it on the same day. Yeah. But today everybody has a freezer or a refrigerator, so nobody shechts immediately before. So that's the kind of a malacha that's not mutar on yonder. Cooking right before you eat it, that's more
it's
normal.
Better.
But shechting before, we don't do.
You don't do it. Shechting at all. Somebody else is doing.
Yeah. Then the Gemara goes with, now the Gemara is talking details on Hilcha Shabbos. So the Gemara quotes a Tosefta from Masechta Shabbos, Perek Yud Beis. One person puts a fire. One person takes a match and he lights the logs and he makes a fire. Another person, he turns on the fire on the oven, on the stove. Another person takes a pot
puts it on
full of water and he puts the pot full of water on the fire. Another guy takes a piece of raw chicken and he puts it into a pot full of water. Another guy is stirring the pot. So the Tosefta says they all did a malacha. The guy who lit the fire did a malacha of havar. And Yontav, it's all mutter, oichal nefesh. But on Shabbos we're talking. So on Shabbos, the one who lit the fire did havar. The one who put the pot of water did bishul on the water. The one who puts in the raw chicken did the bishul on the chicken. The one who stirs it at the kruvi bishul. If it would have taken an hour and a half to cook, and that one only takes an hour and a quarter. So the Gemara says in Zalachim, the kruvi bishul is also a malacha. The Mishnah Berurah is not sure whether that's so by all malachas, also like that. The malacha would have occurred anyway. Let's say there's a system that waters the lawn. There's a system on Shabbos and a Shabbos clock that waters the lawn. And he starts...
He increases the water.
So if he would have left the system by itself, it would have taken care of everything anyway. But because he increased it, so he watered the lawn in less time. He accomplished the same thing in less time. So the Gemara says by Bishul, that the Kruvi Bishul is a Malacha. Is this true in Kotzer and Chorish and Zareya? Everything, all the Lamatas, all the Malacha, so maybe it's only a din in Hilchot Bishul. So the Mishnah Berurah writes he's not sure. The Gemara doesn't say he's not sure.
Is this al Bishul, or is it because the person who crossed the fire, he is violated
for Bar Eish. So
the guy that made the fire, the guy made the fire is like the Bar Eish. The guy put the water is Bishul on the water.
Right.
The guy put the chicken in the water is Bishul on the chicken.
Right.
The guy who stirs it,
right.
He stands there and he stirs it for the Maher, the Bishul. So he's also doing Bishul.
So what's the
Kiddush?
No, you think to others about it. That's it.
So the Tosefta says they're all Chayiv. So it says, Kulam Chayovim. Kulam Chayovim. I read Mark Asher Vahatanya, but there's another Brisa that says, Ha'achron Chayiv. Everybody else is Potter. So the Gemara says, Loi Kasha, Ha'de Aisiur, Me'ekor, Ha'de Aisiur, Lubisov. The Ur is the fire. If one guy puts, the fire is not on. One guy puts a pot of water. The other guy, and there's no fire, it's garnished. The other guy puts in a chicken. And the other guy stirring it, cold water, cold chicken, nothing happened. So nothing happened yet. They're just preparing in advance for somebody to... And then the one who turns on the fire, he did Havara and Bishul on the water and Bishul on the chicken, yeah?
Well, will be more Bishul, be high from Bishul on all of them, on the chicken and on the water separate?
Yeah.
No,
one Bishul on the chicken, on the water, one big Bishul on the chicken. So that's the Tosefta. So this is quoted, the Mogad Avram quotes this in Hilchos Shabbos, and he's Medayik from the Lashon HaGemara, I think based on the Rambam. He's Medayik from the Lashon HaRambam, he's just quoting the Lashon HaGemara. The Rambam, the Gemara has the klal, and the Rambam writes the klal on himself. Whenever I say potter means potter of loshen. Whenever I say mutter is mutter. So here the loshen is Achran Chai b'kulam pturim. So the shayla is why potter of loshen. The one who put the pot with water is potter of loshen. The one who put the chicken is potter of loshen. Why is it loshen? What did he do?
Messiah him.
Messiah is like Lifneiver.
Yeah.
It's like Lifneiver. Messiah, he's leading
him on.
He's leading on that the next one. So it should be Lifneiver.
He couldn't cook the chicken if he didn't put the pot in.
Right. So what is it? It's a Lisa Lifneiver, but Pata Avalos, it sounds like Pata Avalos is Tan Hilchus
Shabbos.
What's the Shabbos and the Magen Avraham is Medayik from the Rambam. The Rambam is the exact same Lashon as the Gemara. I don't know what's that Unger chapter Tan Rambam. The Rambam just quotes the Lashon at Tosefta here. So he says, Medayik from the Lashon is Pata Avalos, it's called Grama. It's called Gram Malachim. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, it doesn't exactly say it, but that's his interpretation. That Grama is Gram Malachim, is Mutam and Atara and Asim and the Rabbanim. What does Gemara have the case? Gram Malachim, the house is burning down.
And I put on barrels of water.
Oh, so if he takes a hose of water and he pours the water on, that's Mechaba Mamish. It's going to be Mechaba Ein Tzvicha Lagufa, because the real Mechaba Der Aisif is going to use the Pechol. If he's not going to use the charcoal, that's called Ein Tzvicha Lagufa. Okay, so it's Mechaba Ein Tzvicha Lagufa. If you hold Ein Tzvicha Lagufa as Der Aisif, it'll be Der Aisif. Most of the Rambam happens to hold Ein Tzvicha Lagufa as Der Aisif. And the Balamor holds like that. Most of the Rishonim hold the Malacha Ein Tzvicha Lagufa as the Rabbana, so it'll be Ein Tzvicha Lagufa. Be Mechaba Ein Tzvicha Lagufa. So the Gemara says that's only if he pours water directly on the flame to put it out. What if he takes barrels full of water? He wants to prevent the flame from going to burn down the hole. So he puts barrels of water around the flame to contain it, so that when the heat finally reaches in another 5 minutes, he will reach the barrel. The barrels will crack open, and the water will extinguish the flame. So the Gemara says that that's not called malacha direct. That's not called malacha biyadayim. That's called gram malacha. So gram malacha, the Gemara Mishnah says, is mutter. Says mutter. So Taisa Shita, mutter is mutter.
Yeah.
Gram malacha is mutter. The Ramah quotes the Mardchai, the Gram Malach is Mutta Man HaTorah but Asim the Rabbanon, and the Mamakim Dleika is Mutta. If you want to prevent the whole house from burning down, the Mamakim Dleika is Mutta. So then the later parts can say they have the Grama telephones and the Grama, and the hospitals have all these Grama gadgets. So the later parts can say, well, if Grama is Mutta, Mamakim Dleika, so it's Mutta Mamakim Chayla also, Mamakim Mutta Mamakim Mitzvah, Mutta Mamakim Tzara Godel, any Tzara Godel doesn't have to be only Dleika to save the whole house from burning down. Want to help a sick person get better is also Mutta Mamakim Tzara Godel. So that's a machloikis. The Ramah paskins like the Mordechai that Gram Malacha is awesome at the Rabban, and it's only Mutta Mamakim Dleika, Mamakim Chayla, Mamakim Tzara Godel. And Taisa Shita is that Gram Malacha is just Hetta Goma. So the Magen Avraham is assuming, number one, that the Rambam holds like the Mordechai, like the Ramah. The Gram Malach is awesome in the Rabbanu. Number two, he holds that this is also called the Grama. Not only is it called the Grama if I put barrels and I walk away, it comes out that I was responsible for the kibbutz. I put a pot of water on the stove. Yeah. It can sit there from today till next year. Nothing is going to happen. Someone else has to come and turn on the fire. That's also Grama. So the Magen Avraham tells us for Chiddush. It says Pater Avalasa, cool up during Pater Avalasa. That's how Seichet Groma. So that's what the Rav said based on this. Magen Avraham, Rav Soloveitchik said, let's say a Nachri wants to take a picture of a Yid on Shabbos. So he asks me to pose for the camera. Nachri, it's not a miracle. Nachri, I'm not asking him to take the picture. I'm not going to get the picture.
He wants it. Nice,
he wants a picture. So he said, the Rav said, if you pose for the snapshot, so that's a gram melacha. Even though he has to snap the shot, the Nachri has to do the melacha. So that's what the Magen Avraham learns in this Gemara. If I set something up that's to enable someone else to do a melacha, even though there's someone else is at the Gomer, it's not a merely Akum.
Yeah.
The other one. Taking a picture, probably not an Issa there, right? Some kind of an Issa or another. Either it's Kosev or Mochek.
You don't see anything until you develop. Before you develop, you don't see anything.
The Pashtus should be Mochek. The Pashtus should be Mochek means Hachana Lekseva.
Yeah.
If you draw a picture, if you make a picture, it's also Kaisav. Kaisav is not only Kaisav, Rambam says Roshan. If you make a picture, it's also.
Yeah.
So if he wouldn't take the snapshot, then he wouldn't have what to develop later on. So taking the snapshot is a hachana to the Ksiva. So the Rosh quotes a Tosefta that if you have a cloth that has wax spilled on it, and the wax prevents you from writing on the parchment, so you scrape off the wax in order to enable somebody to write. The hachana l'ksiva, that's a tosefta, that's called meichik. Even though there are no words written, you're not erasing any words, you're not destroying any ksav. They see that the definition of meichik is not so much destroying a ksav, but rather hachana l'ksiva. So that's what some argue, that taking a photograph is a malacha meichik, because you're doing an indispensable hachana to the ksiva, namely developing the photograph later.
A couple of weeks ago, I asked you about this lolly, the shuttle that stops, that would stop on Shabbos, but only if it's driven by a guy. Only if there's a few, but if there's somebody.
Wait, there's nobody there, he's not going to stop.
That's right. But if there is somebody there, he will stop.
Uh-huh.
And I asked the question about whether. I mean, this is a Makkah Mitzvah here. Old people, indigent people, sick people that otherwise wouldn't get the shul at all on Shabbos.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's
a
most. Well, that's Amir Eliakum. That's a little Mocham, but that's Amir Eliakum.
You're not saying anything.
Rashi and Abu Dazar writes Amir Eliakum is an Issa Dabadover. So there won't be any Dabadover if you're not saying, if I just stand there, but still it's. The Issa, there's an Arza Ruah that's quoted in Shulchan Aruch. The Arza Ruah has rise from Gemara that even if I ask the Nochri on Erev Shabbos to do the Malach on Shabbos, it's also an Issa Amir Eliakum. So this Rashi, Dabadover, that's an added Issa. Rashi and Abu Dazar, the first pair. But still, when I stand there, he knows that he has to stop. So my standing there, I'm encouraging him.
Yes, to do a halacha for you.
And if someone else is standing there,
Mina Nachri is standing there. Ben Kavakot, there's a Nachri standing there, so he's stopping anyway.
Yeah.
So then there's no Amir Eliakum.
You hire Nochri to stand there.
If I have Amir Eliakum.
But you're only Amir to stand.
But you're standing for a reason.
I'm getting the Akum to do the Amir Eliakum. It's Amir and Amir.
It's
Amir and Amir.
So how can we arrange with the bus driver to stop even if there's nobody standing there?
I can elevate him.
Why? What do you mean? Why should he stop if there's nobody there? That doesn't make sense. Why should he stop? That's why I mentioned when you said I mentioned that the Beis Yitzchak of Yitzchak Shmelkish was the Rav in Lemberg, 150 years ago, I think. So he wrote in his sefer in the Beis Yitzchak. That's when electricity first came out. So they had buses. They had I don't think they had electrical buses, trolleys, but yeah. So he writes that he thinks that the Gzeira the Rabbana that appears in the Mishnah Lamed Vav on the days and Rechem Agabi Behemo, the whole list of Gzeira the Rabbana, doesn't only apply to riding on it. The reason why you're not allowed to ride on an animal is because he may break off a branch in order to whack the animal to encourage it to go. So the reason only applies to riding on an animal, doesn't apply to riding on a train. What is it going to help? I'm going to break off a branch and hit the train. It's not going to go any faster. Yeah. So nonetheless, he had a chiddush that was the reason that motivated the Tanaim to make the Gzeira Rabbanan. But the Gzeira applies to all forms of transportation. So that's why the Poskim say to ride a bicycle, even Techa Erev, is not allowed. Or to ride a bicycle on Yontov. If a person wants to ride to Shul on Yontov, they're allowed to carry. So what's wrong? So they say, no, forms of transportation. A child should ride on a tricycle. So a tricycle is a toy. That's not a form of transportation. But to go on a bicycle, that's a form of transportation.
Something is going to do that's the
Icarus of a bicycle. I don't know. The Tanoim never goes around bicycles, Shem Yisakim. So that's what the Beis Yitzchok claims, that all forms of transportation are included in this. So that's what he said. That's what the later Paschim, the Lamed Lahoyal and the Sri Yesh, they talk about that in Germany. They used to have trains, I don't know whether subways or elevated, but whatever, they had trains that stopped on every stop. And you can pay in advance before Shabbos, and the conductor, whatever, they'll let you go on the train. So is it permissible to go? He has a shaila, the chazan and the choir live in this side of the city, and they're davening on the other side of the city. So you're allowed to go on the train on Shabbos and Yom Tov, it's Tuch HaTchum, and the Nochri is driving the train anyway, and there are Nochrim on the train anyway. Ben Kovako, there's Nami, or Liakum. Is there anything wrong? Well, what's the problem? So they were all afraid to paskin against the Beis Yitzchok, because he said all forms of transportation are wrong. So that's what, and others were not afraid. They say Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky was not afraid to paskin. He said against the. He said Professor Lev once said when he was here. He once said Rabbi Yankel Kamenetsky told him that he's permitted to go to when he was coming back from Colombia to Rabbi Yankel's home for late Friday afternoon. So he said, so you take your shower there and you put on your big day shabbos, you go on the train, you leave all your stuff in the school. And he held that it was mutter. He didn't hold from this basically.
What about Shabbos elevators going up? Goes automatically,
stops on every floor. Moshe Feinstein just raises an issue.
There is an issue. It uses more electricity going up, but what they do is they go non-stop all up and stop every other one coming down. See, when you stop coming down, you don't use electricity.
It goes on and use electricity all the time. I don't know. Huh? Use electricity all the time. The more load, the more electricity.
That's the shaila. The more load, the more electricity. It's been cover code. It's going to go stop on every floor.
It doesn't fall because there's more weight.
That's the shaila. Rav Moshe Feinstein raises. First, Rav Moshe wrote the tshuva. Someone wanted to go visit Achoel in the hospital on the 15th floor. So what does he do? He can't walk up so high. Rav Moshe said, stand by the elevator. If a nochri will go in the elevator going up, so go with the Nachri, as far as he goes, don't ask him to push the button. Go to the 15th floor, go higher and then walk down, no problem. And then, when he was holding by printing the tshuva, so he wrote, afterwards they told me that the more weight, the more the load is, so the more electricity is used. So he's not sure whether that is a malacha. A Benkova called the elevator is going to go to this floor anyway, but because I weigh 200 pounds, so there's more weight, so there's more electricity. So what's wrong if there's more electricity?
But the electricity. The refrigerator, you put in more food, you use more electricity. So you take out all the food before Shabbos, only use what you're going to use after the Shabbos.
When you put in more food, there's more electricity.
More electricity.
Yeah. That gets warm, more food gets warm.
I don't know.
Right.
Category
of means of transportation. You put it
the elevator should also be a means of transportation.
You put the food before Shabbos.
I don't know. Translation apparently is horizontal. Let's assume that that's horizontal.
Well, translation is
but it went horizontally also, while it's going vertically also. I don't know. That's the chumra that many observe, the chumra that they see.
There is no Indian fare because nobody pays. It's free.
Right.
Right. Yeah, that's not
one of the problems was paying. So if you stop that issue of paying, so what's with this? Yeah. All right. We have two psukim that have the nunim. Hafuchim before and after, a strange phenomenon. So there's a machlokes hatanoim. What is this all about? So we paskin l'alocha, a strange thing. We call this a chumash. Why do we call it a chumash? Because chumash is 1/5. We assume that there are 5 books of Moses. There are 25 svarim in the Tanakh. Chof tal kisvei hakodesh. The chof tal kisvei hakodesh tavot. The hamishu chumashei Torah. 5 and another 19. 5 and 19. And higher mathematics is 24. So the truth of the matter is we don't pass like that. It's not true.
Yeah.
There are 7 chumashim. It's not chumashim. You shouldn't call it a chumash.
Yeah,
there's 7
shuas.
We pass from halacha that chumash b'midbar is divided into 3 svarim. is Bereishis Shmos Vayikra Dvarim and Bamidbar A, B, and C. And these two psukim that are separate normally between one sefer and the other, you have four blank lines. And here in the middle of Bamidbar, you have Ahimin Tzahar and Nuchayama. These two psukim, Al Pidin, constitute a separate sefer. So instead of having four lines, the Alach Lamashim Sina has it that you have the Nurim Hafuchim, you have the Simonios, the separated, we pass from that as a separate sefer. And the Gemara quotes the Medrash and the Midrashim have it, and there are Piyutim that have this also. The Pasuk in Mishlei that says, Chachmas Bonsa Beisa Chotzva Mudeho Shivo, that the Chachma refers to the Chachma Satere, and the Chachma Satere is based on seven pillars. What are the seven pillars? The seven, you can't say the seven Chumashim, the seven Sifrei, seven Sfarim HaMashi Rabbeinu. The seven Sifrei Torah, the seven Sifrei Torah. And the Mishnah says La'alocha that how many oisiyas are there? Even Tzoharan and Milchay Yom, how many letters are there? Vayehi, Vav, Yud, Hey, Yud, Bin, Sod. So the Mishnah says there are 85 oisiyas, Pei, Hey, oisiyas. So that's a Shir Al Pidin. The Pei, Hey, oisiyas is the smallest size he can have a sefer. So the Gemara says, let's say he had a sefer Bereishis. Alone, just to say, not Chamishu Chamshu, just to say for Bereishis. And somehow, everything was erased. All of the Gvilin were ripped apart, and you just have a cloth that only has 20 Oisiyas on it. So the Gemara says it doesn't retain a Kedusha Sefer Torah. In order to retain a Kedusha Sefer Torah, Sefer, from the Sefer Torah has to have a minimum of Pei Oisiyas, because the smallest Sefer in Tanakh has 85 Oisiyas, and it's based on this. So a very strange concept.